You know, everybody looks like somebody. Is that profound or what? Everybody looks like somebody. Nobody is their own unique person. What does that mean? You look like somebody. In your physical features, you look like somebody. It may be your mom, may be your dad, may be your granddad, your grandmother. You look like somebody. Your physical features. Somebody may look at you and say, you've got your dad's eyes, you got your mom's smile, whatever it is, there may be some physical features they see somebody else in you because everybody looks like somebody. But it's not just our physical features. Sometimes it is our behavior, our mannerisms. Sometimes it's the way we talk, the things that we say that give us away that we've been hanging around certain people. Did you ever come home from school and your mom or dad said, oh, you've been hanging around so-and-so again, haven't you? Because of the way that we were talking and maybe some words that we were using that we would not normally use. Sometimes our friends, our companions influence who we are and what we look like and what we do. Too often it's the world around us. Too often it's the television, it's our shows, it's our media that influences our behavior and our speech. But as Christians, when we say that everybody looks like somebody, when we come to talk about us as Christians, who is it that we ought to look like? That's not a hard question to answer. Every single one of us ought to be one who is an imitator of God. So I want to invite you this morning very quickly to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. And all we're going to do this morning is look at this one short verse in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. And allow this to help us to see as we enter into 2022, can you even believe we're saying that? As we enter into 2022 and as we think about who do we need to imitate this year? You know, you're going to look like your mom or dad, and there may not be anything you can do about it. You may look like your friends or the world, and there is something you can do about that. But is it not true that we need to be imitators of God? And as you look at this verse, I want us to see three brief things in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 to help us to make application of what this means in our life. The first thing I want us to see is that there is an expectation in this verse. And it is a habitual expectation. What does that mean? God tells us in Ephesians 5 and verse 1 to be imitators. There's two words there. The word be in the original language, and this may not mean much, but it is a present middle imperative. What does that mean? The middle voice indicates that this has to do with you, and you've got to make direct application to you. When the middle voice was used in the Greek language, that's what it often indicated, was that you've got to turn around and you've got to make sure this is applying to you. The imperative is that word must appear. This is not a choice. This is something that is imperative, that is a command of God. And the present tense means that this is something you need to become. And when you become it, it is something you need to continue to be and to develop. When we become a Christian, when we are converted to Christ, we become a follower of God, and that identity that we take on when we are converted to Christ is something we need to continue to develop, something that needs to continue to grow in our lives every single day. God says this is an imperative. He says it's a must. He says it's something we've got to continue to do. But then you've got that second word, the word imitators. If you look at the Greek word for imitators, you will see the English word that we get out of it. The Greek word for imitators is the word mimetes. We get the word mimic from that word. The word means that we are to copy, we are to imitate, we are to mimic someone else. There is that example that is set out before us. And in that example, we find something that we strive, at least we ought to be, striving to emulate every single day. Now think about this. God says, be imitators. Well, we're imitators all the time, whether we know it or not. We are imitators of other people. Well, and the way this word is used, it's used throughout the New Testament. This Greek word, mimetēs, is used throughout the New Testament to talk about other people that we need to imitate. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. The Bible says that there were things about the apostles and missionaries that we needed to imitate. In the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Paul talked about the fact that there were faithful churches that other churches needed to mimic, to imitate. There were other times where this phrase was used to talk about, like in 3 John, it talks about don't imitate, don't mimic that which is evil, but imitate and mimic that which is good. So it's not just a word that's used in Ephesians 5 and verse 1. It's a word that's used throughout the New Testament to indicate that this is something we've got to give our lives to. I want you to think about becoming a Christian in the first century. I want you to think about you're a Gentile in the first century. You hear about Jesus and you become a Christian. How are you supposed to live? What does that look like? If you've been raised in a pagan society, if you've grown up in a pagan home and now you become a Christian, what does a Christian look like? And so the responsibility that we're seeing here, at least on this screen, on this slide, is that there was a need among those early Christians to see the Christian life lived out by other people, by other Christians. These early Christians had not seen Christians before. We some of you grew up in a Christian home. You had a Christian mom, a Christian dad, and so you kind of knew what it was to be a Christian. Here were individuals who had no clue what that looked like. They needed faithful Christians living that out in front of them. That was one of the reasons God said that you need to be imitators. But this was not just some kind of a expectation that God had, not just something that God expects of us on a habitual level, meaning a continuous level. But God said, when you are being imitators, God says, I want to set a standard for you. God says, I want to show you the level that you need to reach. In other words, God is saying, I want you to reach to the highest standard possible. Don't just be imitators of Paul. Don't just be imitators of the apostles. Don't just be imitators of faithful churches. You need to be imitators of God. Can you imagine if God allowed us to determine through our own human initiative, can you imagine if God allowed us through our own human initiative to determine what kind of lives we would live as Christians and who we would mimic, who we would imitate? Can you imagine God allowing us to decide that? Now, who would you look, if it was up to you, who would you look like as a Christian? We would look like all sorts of different people if we did not have that standard that was set for us. And yet God says, I want to set a standard for you, but I don't just want to set a standard for you. I want to set a standard of the highest possible ideals for you to have in your life. Don't just focus on human life. Don't just focus on human standards. Don't just focus on what would look good from a human perspective. God says, I want you to set your sights as high as they can go. And so throughout the New Testament, over and over in the New Testament, God tells us to be imitators of God. And there's a number of verses here. We're not going to look at any of these verses. But throughout these verses, God says, and you're going to find most of the time in these verses, that little word as, A-S, that adverb of comparison. When you were in school, you learned about similes and metaphors, and similes were different from metaphors because similes always started with like or as. That's the word that's here, is this adverb of comparison, this word as, that indicates here's the level you need to reach. Here's the degree to which you need to reach to become an imitator of God. That as God has loved us, you so love. As God is holy, you become holy. As God is, as your heavenly Father is perfect, you also be perfect. There was that standard that was set. Be an imitator of God. And just as often as you read about being an imitator of God, the Bible talks to us about being imitators of Christ. You think about looking at Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and you think about the study that we're going to be doing on Sunday nights, beginning tonight, through the life of Christ. And God says, become an imitator of Jesus Christ. And again, you're going to find that little word as in most of these verses. As I have loved you, so you also ought to love one another. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, because it was also in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 says that Christ also gave us an example that we should follow after His steps, walk in His steps. Who do you want to be like? If you were to look at your spiritual life, not your physical features, but if you were to look at your spiritual life today, who do you look like? Do we really look like Christ? Now, obviously, there are some characteristics of God that we cannot emulate. There are some characteristics of God that we cannot imitate or mimic. You know, God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Can you imitate that? Of course not. God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. Can you mimic that? No, you can't imitate that. God is omnipresent. Can you imitate? No, you can't imitate that. But are there qualities of God, characteristics that we see in the life of Christ that we'd better imitate? You look at Jesus and the interesting statements the Bible makes about Jesus obeying the will of His Father. Did you ever think about Jesus having to become obedient? That's what Philippians 2 and verse 8 says. He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 says that He learned obedience through the things that He suffered. Did you ever think about Jesus needing to learn to obey His Father in heaven? If Jesus needed to do that, what about us? Do we not need to imitate Him and His relationship with His Father? What about Jesus and His relationship with His fellow man? How much did Jesus love His fellow man? Jesus says, as I have loved you, you also ought to love one another. We've got set out for us in the life of Christ, the ideal of all ideals. When we think about who we are in 2022 and who we are going to look like, we have a responsibility today and every day to demonstrate in our lives what it would look like if Christ were living on this earth today. And so for 2022, for this congregation in 2022, the elders want to challenge us in our theme for this year to really focus in and to become this year imitators of God. More than we ever have been. Last year, we focused on being stronger than ever, and hopefully after a year of focusing on those things that we did in 2021, we are stronger now than we were last year. And so the elders want to capitalize on that and build upon that and say, okay, what can we do in 2022 to really become even more imitators of God? And so the ushers right now are passing out to you the calendar for 2022. It has, to the best of our knowledge, everything that is on the church calendar for January through December of 2022. And we want to encourage you to take these things and to mark them down on your personal calendar so that you know what's coming up. But in this coming year of 2022, we're going to focus on various ways, and each month, as we've done in previous years, we're going to focus each month on different ways that we can imitate God. And so in January, we're going to talk about imitating His nature. In February, imitating His holiness. In March, imitating His love. And so you know on our calendar, the last Sunday of January is always our Mission Sunday. You know on our calendar, typically speaking, the first week of March, March 6th through the 9th this year, is our gospel meeting. Mark those down on your calendar. Phil Sanders will be with us this year in our gospel meeting. Phil has been here before. He's the host, the speaker on In Search of the Lord's Way, that great television program that comes on every first day of the week. Be here that first week of March and be a part of our gospel meeting. For the month of April, We will focus on being imitators of God and His jealousy. That will be an interesting thing for you to think about. Imitating God's jealousy, is that something that we ought to do? Imitating His mercy in May, imitating His truthfulness in June. On April 21st is Our Ladies' Day. The speaker this year for Our Ladies' Day is somebody that most of you will know, Carol Dodd, former member of this congregation, a former elder's wife. In this congregation, she will be coming to speak on Our Ladies' Day. The theme of Our Ladies' Day is, Why Am I Here? Carol last year was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and has been fighting that cancer ever since. Ladies will be blessed to be here on April 21st. The day for the men, our Power Up, the Recharge for Christian Men, is on Saturday, April the 30th. Mark your calendar, guys. Make sure you're here for Power Up the last Saturday of April. And then the very next day, on Sunday, May the 1st, is going to be a Bring a Friend Day. We've got Neil Pollard coming down to be here just on that Sunday morning for a Bring a Friend Day event. And then our Vacation Bible School this year is earlier than it normally is. The kids are getting out of school earlier than they normally do at the end of May, and so our Vacation Bible School is going to be June 5th through the 8th. And so make your plans to be here and to be a part of that. And then we get into the rest of the summer. In the month of July, we're going to talk about being imitators of God and His justice. In August, imitators of God and His goodness. In September, imitators of God in His goodness and His patience. For the month of August, August 6th is our Youth Weekend, our Charged by Christ event. In September, we've got a marriage seminar. Mark your calendars for Saturday, September 17th. We've got a marriage seminar. Some folks we have not had down here before will be coming and speaking. Wayne and Tammy Roberts is a couple who has been doing these marriage seminars for quite a while. And you will enjoy that. It's going to be an all-day Saturday event, Saturday, September 17th. Mark that down on your calendar. Wayne will be speaking the next morning. So on Saturday, there'll be sessions for men and for women. So make sure those married couples, those who are planning to be married, be here for that. In October, we will focus on being imitators of His will. In September, imitators of His grace. And in December, imitators of His faithfulness. In October, on Sunday, October the 16th, you see that on the calendar, it's called a Coming Home Sunday. It's not Homecoming Sunday, that's different. And by the way, if you want to mark your calendars for July 2nd, 2023, do you have your 2023 calendars handy? If you want to mark your calendars for July 2nd, 2023, that will be the 100th anniversary of this congregation. And so that will be a homecoming weekend, July 2nd, 2023. That'll be a homecoming weekend, and we talk about this congregation being in existence for 100 years. But on October 16th of 2022, we have a Coming Home Sunday. We've had these in the past where those members of this congregation, those people who have been a part of this family who have fallen away and have turned away from their first love, we've reached out to them. And we've encouraged them to come back and to come home on that Coming Home Sunday. Doesn't mean that's the only time that we would ever do that. It's not the only time we should ever reach out to them and encourage them to come home. But that one Sunday, we as a congregation make a collective and special effort to try to get them to come home. November 3rd through the 6th will be our 26th annual lectureship with the theme of Questions Surrounding the Second Coming. And that will be an interesting and intriguing study about what do we know about the second coming and how do we answer these questions that sometimes people ask. There's a lot of great things that are planned for 2022. And with God's help at the end of this year, hopefully, we will be greater imitators of God than we have in the past. As we did in 2021, we had a sermon and Bible class notebook prepared, and I've been encouraged to see so many people using your sermon and Bible class notebook for taking notes. And this year, when you leave today on the tables out in the lobby, there's another notebook for you to be able to take notes and sermons and Bible classes this year. And so be sure to pick up a copy, and it's an easy way to follow along Easy way to take notes in classes, to keep with you throughout the week, to hang on to and to benefit from. That's the whole reason, you know, that we have PowerPoint. PowerPoint is note-taking for dummies. I mean, I'm not trying to insult anybody, but that's what it is. If you want to know what to write down during a sermon, ta-da, that's what PowerPoint is all about. It's just, and obviously you can write down anything else you want from Bible classes. And just because a Bible class doesn't have PowerPoint doesn't mean that you shouldn't be taking notes. But this is a great way to keep ourselves engaged and focused in classes and sermons is just to be taking notes. And these notebooks, I think, for many of you have proven to be very helpful. So in Ephesians 5 and verse 1, God says, here's a habitual expectation. Be imitators. God says in Ephesians 5 and verse 1, here's the highest standard you need to reach. Don't just have a human standard. Reach to imitate God. But here's the part of this verse that I've ignored, I guess my whole life, is the last part of Ephesians 5 verse 1. I've quoted the verse for years. We need to be imitators of God, but left off the last three words. Imitators of God as beloved children. Here's the highest name. Here's the honored name that we get to wear. Think about this in just two brief and distinct ways that we need to be as children of God. Think about the manner of our imitation, that we are to imitate God as His children. Have you ever noticed that kids act like their parents? That's dangerous for some of us. But kids grow up and they act like their parents. If you ever wonder what's wrong with your kids, well, I don't know. But kids sometimes act like their parents. With God as our Father, who should we be striving to emulate every day? God our Father. The manner of our imitation is we are His children. And as children imitate their parents, we ought to be striving to imitate our Father because we are His children. But I want you to look at the word before children. Maybe your Bible has the word dear as dear children. Other translations say, as beloved children. This doesn't just emphasize the manner of our imitation. It emphasizes the motive of our imitation. Why should I want to be like God? Why should I want to be like God? I should want to be like God because God so loved me that He sent His only begotten Son. That's why I should want to be like God. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, you might underline this verse in your Bible. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, it starts with the word behold. The word behold says, look, open your eyes, pay attention to this. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Think about that for just a second. John says, pay attention, wake up, listen to what I'm saying. Behold, what manner, can you believe this? Can you believe what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us? Now, we would think that the rest of the verse and what he's focusing on is the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us is demonstrated by sending His Son. And that's true. That's why John 3:16 says, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That's not the focus of 1 John 3 and verse 1. What's so great about God's love? What's so wonderful about God's love? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Do we take that for granted? Am I a servant of God? I absolutely am. Am I a slave of God? Absolutely I am. Am I someone who must obey my Father in heaven? Absolutely, that's true. But of all of the names that God could give to me, He calls me His child. He calls you His child. That's how much God loves you. What else should we want to do then but to look like Him? What else should we want to do then to grow more and more and more, that when other people see us, they see Christ living in us? In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. May God help us when we get to the end of 2022 to look more like God, to look more like Christ than we do today. And may we make it our goal starting today to look in that mirror and to say, do I look like, am I imitating my God? You want to know the very best thing you can do for your kids in 2022? You want to know the very best thing you can do for your grandkids in 2022? Your nieces and nephews? You want to know the very best thing that you can do for the young people in this congregation? Is to imitate God before them. Let them see who they need to become. Not because you're doing it begrudgingly or of necessity. You're doing it because you love your God. You love your Father. You want to look like Him, and you want to help these children to look like Him too. May God help us to do that. Are you one of His children today? That's the key question. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called His children? The question is, are you one of His children today? Do you have the promise of that heavenly home today? The promise of that heavenly home is only available to those who are God's children. Those who are not God's children will not have an entrance into heaven. It is only available to those who believe that Jesus is God's Son, that He died for their sins, that He was buried in that tomb, and on the third day He was raised from the dead. Do you believe that with all of your heart? It's only available to those who have that faith, and that faith causes them to repent, to turn away from sin in their life. Say, I want to turn my life in the direction of God. I want to stop looking like the world, and I want to start looking like God. I want to turn my life in His direction. Are you ready to make that decision today? That heavenly home is only available to those who confess the faith that's in their heart and do what those individuals did in the New Testament. Heavenly home is only available to those who are baptized for the remission of their sins, because it's at that moment when somebody is baptized that all of their sins are washed away. It's at that moment when somebody's baptized where the Lord adds them to His church, and it's at that moment when they become a part of His church. Hebrews 12 verse 23 says they're now enrolled in heaven. Have you ever been baptized for the remission of your sins? If you haven't, you can do that today. There's water here, garments here, towels here. Everything's ready for you to do that today. You can come as we sing and say, I am resolved no longer to linger. I'm ready to serve Him today. That heavenly home is only available to His children who continue to walk with Him, serve Him, imitate Him faithfully. If you're not where you need to be in your relationship with God today, why don't you make it right now as together we stand and sing.